بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولاه وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our fourth session dealing with the topic التوكل, يعني حقيقة التوكل, the trust and reliance upon Allah by the Shaykh Al-Alam Al-Salih Ibn Fawzan Ibn Abdullah Al-Fawzan حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him. And tonight's topic is a continuation of the discussion concerning reliance upon Allah. And the Shaykh tonight actually begins the detail, the core of what he presented concerning this topic, centered around the two important matters related to at-tawakkul, yani having dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with utilizing the means, yani the asbab, the means to achieve, yani whatever is the objective. So there are a number of points related to this particular area of the subject, yani where people erred. There are two obvious errors, and there's a third error that inshallah we're going to talk about tonight as well, concerning the combination of the matter of dependence upon Allah along with the necessity of making some effort to utilize the means to achieve whatever you're depending upon Allah for. So before we go into the topic for tonight, inshallah, we're going to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week from question and study guide from lecture number 3. The first question, summarize the author's explanation of how and why the mushrikun ended up committing shirk with Allah and kufr. Yani how and why did the mushrikun end up committing shirk with Allah? And he summarized what the author said concerning this. Talib?
Yeah. The mushriks fell into disbelief because they placed trust in other than Allah.
They placed trust in other than Allah.
And they turned their affairs to other than Allah.
They turned their affairs over to other than Allah.
And began to believe in other than Allah.
And they began to believe that those things actually could give them benefit and protect them from harm. Yani could fulfill their needs, could remove their worries, could protect them from harm coming to them. They began to believe, اعتقدوا. They began to believe, their aqidah in their heart was that these things could benefit them or harm them. Now, the conviction of the heart, yeah. So as a result of that, then they actually began to depend and rely upon those things, which led to them what? Offering all types of worship to them. Yani led to them seeking help from them, making sacrifices to them, making vows and commitments to them, and so on. So they began to worship them. In the end of it, the Shaykh said, so they began to offer to them their i'tiqad and their ibadah. Meaning the i'tiqad in the heart, they gave it to those things that they fell into the worship of besides Allah. Their heart, and as well as their actions, their worship. And if their heart was connected to those things, And the actions that they did, their worship was also connected to them. And we're going to talk about this a little bit tonight, bi'idhni Allah ta'ala. The second question, explain the grammatical benefit, yani of hasr, in the ayah, in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:23, yani the where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that which means, and in Allah put your trust. Yani, in this ayah, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلُ يعني فَلْيَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ يعني فَعَلَى اللَّهِ. Why is Allah mentioned here first? What is the grammatical benefit here of the mention of Allah coming first? Ya Mustafa.
Allah mentioned the receiver of the action first, indicating the limitation.
Allah mentioned the receiver of the action first.
Indicating the limitation of indicating
the limitation and restriction of that tawakkul, that action, to Allah alone. Yani put your trust in Allah and in nothing or no one other than Allah.
Like you said in the ayah,
as in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Now, the third question, in addition to at-tawakkul being a shart, a condition for the validity of iman, in addition to at-tawakkul being a condition for the validity of a person's iman, the author further says that it is the alama, yani it is the what? Sign of iman and the sign of at-tawheed. Yani at-tawakkul is not only an indication or a sign that a person has iman, but it's also a sign of at-tawheed, that a person makes their dependence and their reliance and their confidence and their trust only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person wants to be sure about where their iman is at and their tawheed is at, one of the indicators of that is that a person examines their self. Their trust and their dependence and their reliance, is it on Allah alone or other than that? Number four, tawakkul ala Allah is in matters of i'tiqad, in beliefs and convictions, as well as in one's worldly matters, one's worldly affairs, the things that a person needs in this world, such as food, clothing, shelter, whatever a person is in need of in worldly matters. So the tawakkul is not limited to al-aqidah and al-tawheed, but rather in our worldly matters as well, a person must depend upon and rely upon and have confidence in Allah alone and not in other than Him. Question number five, list three basic necessities of every human being sought only from Allah, mentioned in the Hadith Qudsi, narrated by Abu Dhar radiallahu anhu. Anybody? Now, Talib.
Guidance.
The first and foremost of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Hadith Qudsi that what? Ya ibadi kullukum dhalun. Oh, my worshipers, all of you are astray. Except the one that I have guided, so seek guidance from me, and I will guide you. That's the promise of Allah. And the second of them he mentioned? Food. Food. All of you are hungry except the one that I have fed. Therefore, seek food from me and I will feed you. And the third one that he mentioned in this Hadith Qudsi? Clothing. All of you are naked except the one that I've clothed. So seek clothing from me and I will clothe you. This shows us these three matters from this Hadith Qudsi, which mentions a number of other very, very important matters. For the sake of time, we're limiting to this. But this shows us that in the religious affairs, umur al-diniya, that you rely upon Allah alone and seek it from Allah. And the most important of those affairs is seeking guidance, al-hidayah. And then in your worldly affairs as well, your food, clothing and other things, you have to seek from Allah alone. So, التوكل على Allah, seeking help from Allah, turning to Allah, to provide for your needs, is in your religious affairs as well as in your worldly affairs. Question number six, discuss briefly what is intended by the expression Hadith Qudsi. What is intended by the expression Hadith Qudsi? This is an expression that the scholars have differed about and given a lot of definitions. We have a simple definition from Sheikh Abdul Razak.
The prophet described to his Lord, and all pronouns refer back to Allah himself.
Naam, it is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has attributed that speech to his Rabb, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pronouns of the speaker in those hadith, where it says, I have, or I will, or whatever, that pronoun refers back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the one who is speaking in this hadith. Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz added to that. I don't know if I read the comments of Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, last week. But in any case, he added a similar definition, but he brought some additional points. He mentioned that the Hadith Qudsi is that which is narrated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his Rabb. He said that it is wahyi from Allah to his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is not like the Quran. It is a wahyi mustaqil, an independent wahyi other than the Quran. And he also said, and the scholars differ about this, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, he said that lafdhuhu wa ma'nahu min Allah balaghahu Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lil ummah. That the wording and the meaning is from Allah, but it is conveyed to the ummah by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are a lot of definitions scholars have given in a great difference of opinion, but I think these two definitions are simple definitions, easy to follow, and they are clear. Maybe there's some difference of opinion about the statement of the wording and the meaning is from Allah. There's some difference of opinion concerning this, but this coming from our Imam of the people of Sunnah of this time saying this is sufficient for me. Question number 7. Complete the author, Rahimahullah's Hafidhullah, explanation of why no one should trust in or rely upon anything other than Allah. Since, Naam, Abdulaziz.
I think before, though, I said to rely upon anything else besides
Allah, you will fall into shirk. Because you will fall into shirk. No doubt, we're going to discuss that in detail tonight, but the statement, the quote specifically, directly from what the Shaykh said, he said, Sadiq?
All the fears are in the hands of Allah, and his hands are the keys to the heavens and the earth.
He said, لِأَنَّ الْأُمُورْ كُلُّهَا بِيَدِ اللَّهِ. Because all affairs, every affair is in the hands of Allah. And Allah is the one who possesses the keys, meaning the authority, the reign, the power over the heavens and the earth. So therefore it is obligatory then to put our trust in Him alone. And there are some statements from some of the scholars concerning this particular point, which I think is really, really critical. I alluded to it last week. Sheikh Abdulaziz Ali Sheikh, Hafidhullah, and he mentioning the connection between, and he developing a tawakkul in the heart by reflecting upon the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani whoever reflects upon the rububiyyah of Allah and what He is doing in the creation, in the whole of the creation, all the time, if a person reflects upon that, this is indeed a means of developing, yani strengthening, increasing the tawakkul ala Allah, because yani if Allah is the one who is doing everything that He's doing in the universe, all of what He's doing that we know and that we don't know, indeed, it is extremely easy then for Him to do something little for you or me. It is extremely easy for Him. In any case, this is yani some of what we covered last week. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to be reading in English from page 23, from the top of the page, through 27, hopefully. In Arabic, we're reading from page 269, top of the page, to 271. And I'm sorry that I didn't make copies of the Arabic text for tonight. I intended to, but I can't see to. But I did send out the Arabic text to whoever requested it, I think. In any case, try to follow us, inshallah. The Shaykh, he says, on the top of page 269, or in English on top of page 23, التوكل على الله واتخاذ الأسباب. واتخاذ الأسباب. يعني, depending upon Allah, and taking hold of, utilizing, acting upon the asbab. يعني, asbab is the plural of sabab. And sabab means the reason for something, or the cause of something, or the means through which, yeah, the means that a person can use to achieve something, to gain some benefit or to protect one from some harm. So the asbab here, primarily we are saying that there are things that have a cause and effect relationship in the creation that Allah created, to have that cause and effect relationship. And He can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to His will, He can make those things do what they are known to do. And He can make fire burn. Or He can remove from it the causative effect that He placed in it, and so that it doesn't burn. Rather, as we mentioned last week, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, He can make it do the opposite of what it's known for. And He can take that which normally benefits and make it harm. And He can take that which harms and make it benefit, if He wills. Because everything is in the hand of Allah. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. And whatever Allah wills will be. And whatever He doesn't will, it cannot occur. It will never happen. The Shaykh says, التوكل على الله واتخاذ الأسباب. Putting one's dependence, reliance upon Allah, and at the same time utilizing the means to achieve whatever you're trying to achieve, that you're depending upon Allah for. And your dependence has to be upon Allah, yet at the same time it is obligatory upon us to utilize the means to achieve the goal. The Shaykh gives several examples here that we're going to look at, and he also mentions a couple of points that I think are yani tremendous. Of great benefit. He says, ثُمَّ أَيْدًا لَيْسَ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَعْنَاهُ تَرْكَ الْأَسْبَابِ وَالتَّفْوِيدِ الْأُمُورِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Then we're also saying here that التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, its meaning is not abandoning the means, abandoning the use of means, while claiming to delegate or to entrust your affairs to Allah alone. And a person claims that I'm putting it in the hands of Allah, but he doesn't do anything to achieve the goal. He doesn't utilize the means that Allah created and legislated to be used. He said this is not tawakkul. That a person claims they put their trust in Allah, but they don't do anything. They don't go out and do anything to achieve the goal. This is not what we understand in Islam as tawakkul. He says, so therefore, and he gives an example here, two examples, and then some more examples. فَلَا نَطْرُقْ الرِّزْقْ وَنَقُولْ. We don't abandon the risk, yani the sustenance that a person needs to live by. We don't abandon it and say, if Allah had willed for us to have sustenance, it would have come to us while we are sitting here, doing nothing. If Allah had willed, it would just come to us. We don't have to go out and get a job, open a business or do something. If Allah had willed for us to have it, it's just going to come. He said, yani, this is what we do not do. We do not, yani, abandon the means to achieve whatever it is that we want to go. وَلَا نَتْرُكْ طَلُبَ الْعِلْمِ. Nor do we abandon seeking knowledge and then say that if Allah had willed for us to have knowledge, it would have come to us while we are sitting in our houses. Yani, don't go and learn, don't read a book, don't listen to a scholar, just sit at home and knowledge will come to you. We don't believe in this. We don't leave, nor do we leave. وَنَتْرُكْ سَائِرَ الْأُمُورِ النَّافِعَةِ الَّتِي لَا بُدَّ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَخْذِ بِهَا وَنَقُولُ إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَهَا لَنَا جَاءَتْنَا مِنْ غَيْرِ فِعْلْ سَبَبٍ. Yani, we don't abandon the beneficial affairs, the beneficial means, which of necessity we must utilize. Yani, we must utilize these means to achieve whatever we're going to try to achieve. And then say, إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهَ قَدْرَهَا اللَّهَ. Yani, if Allah had decreed it for us, it will come to us without us doing anything. Without us utilizing any means. It will just come to us. هَذَا غَلَطْ كَبِيرٌ. This is a big, tremendous mistake. Here I want to mention a hadith that it was suggested, a few hadith actually to mention at this point. I'm going to mention one of them that I think is from the 40 hadith related to at-tawakkul. 40 hadith of tawakkul that we mentioned previously. Yani, inshallah, going to be published soon, بإذن الله تعالى. I was given access to this book, and so I'm trying to utilize some of these hadith that I think are appropriate. And even this particular hadith has been mentioned here in this particular place, was suggested to me, was recommended to me. I think it's totally appropriate. Even though the Shaykh is going to mention it later and discuss it in some detail, we'll discuss it in detail then. But here we want to say, from what has been mentioned, there's a hadith. It's mentioned in 40 hadith of tawakkul. It's not published yet, so don't look for it. But yani, in the future, look for it. The chapter, At-Tawakkul Laysa Udhr في عدم اتخاذ الأسباب القونية في جلب المنفعة ودفع المضرة ما توكل على الله في ذلك. يعني the claim of depending upon Allah, التوكل على الله, this is not an excuse for a person not utilizing the means, يعني the means that Allah has set in motion in the creation, not utilizing those means in order to achieve some benefit or to repulse some harm while putting one's trust in Allah. Yani, in other words, if a person claims that they're putting their trust in Allah, this is not an excuse for them to then not do anything. Rather, if you're putting your trust in Allah according to Islam, then you have to do something. You have to get up and do something as well. And this, the combination between these two things, is really, really important, inshallah. I got another fa'idah that was given to me this week that I'm going to try to mention tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, when we get to the end. Related to this point, of any, how does a Muslim properly put their trust in Allah and properly utilize the means without falling into error? So this hadith is the hadith in the book. It's the 11th hadith, and it's narrated from Abi Tamim, أنه سمع عمر ابن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يقول سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لو أنكم توكلتم على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا. It's reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Sunan of Ibn Majah and others. He said that I heard Umar radiallahu anhu saying that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, لو أنكم توكلتم على الله. If you all had put your trust in Allah, حق توكله, in the way that He deserves to be, depended upon, relied upon. If you had done so, he would have provided for you. He would have definitely provided for you, just as he provides for the bird, who goes out with an empty stomach and returns with a full stomach. Yani the bird who goes out with nothing. He doesn't have any food in storage, but he goes out in the morning with nothing in his stomach, putting his trust in Allah, but he goes out and seeks it, and Allah takes care of him. This is an example in the creation. Yani natural tawakkul ala Allah. Naturally, the created beings know that when they put their trust in Allah, Allah will take care of them. But they have to go out and do something though. And so tawakkul ala Allah, what, as we see in nature, the created beings know that when they depend upon Allah, Allah will take care of them, but they have to go out and do something, seek their sustenance. After this, and the Shaykh, I'm going back to the book now, he says, and he repeats the statement again later on, so we're going to come back to it again, but I'm just going to pass through it right now. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْجَمْعِ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ So it is a necessity that we combine between these two matters. Which two matters? التوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى وفعل الأسباب النافية And it is of a necessity, it is incumbent, obligatory upon us to join, to combine between these two matters. The matter of putting your trust in Allah, really putting your trust in Allah, depending upon Allah, relying upon Allah, having confidence, absolute confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while at the same time going out and doing something. We have to combine these two affairs. And then the Shaykh makes a statement that I'm going to come back to in the end. And this statement, actually I read it several times before it really dawned on me how important it is what he said here. If whoever understands this, inshallah, then they will be at the point of being able to accomplish the goal of putting one's trust in Allah and relying upon the means in the way that's required by Islam, so that they don't fall into error. The Shaykh, he says here, فَالْإِنسَانْ يَفْعَلُ الْأَسْبَابِ فِي طَلَبْ الرِّزْقِ So the human being, he does what's necessary in terms of utilizing the asbab, the means. فِي طَلَبْ الرِّزْقِ In his seeking the sustenance, the provisions, he puts, yani he utilizes the means in seeking his provisions. وَهُوَ مُتَوَكِّلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي حُصُولِ الْمَطْلُوبِ وَهُوَ مُتَوَكِّلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ What is this wow here? Other than the Imam. نعم يا أبو بكر. الحال. يعني, the meaning here is that the person is utilizing the means. Where? In seeking the provisions. While at the same time he's utilizing those means, he is putting his trust upon Allah to acquire, to achieve, to attain that which is sought. The objective, the goal, the desired thing. So these two things are happening at the same time. A person is going out doing something, but at the same time the heart is not connected to the effort that I'm making to get my sustenance. I'm doing that, I'm seeking the sustenance, but at the same time while I'm out there trying to get some life, make my livelihood, my heart is attached to Allah in reference to what? Achieving the desired goal. Yani, I'm not imagining that because I'm working hard, I'm going to achieve the goal. I know for sure that if I work hard, nothing will happen unless Allah makes it happen. So I make the effort, but my heart, my tawakkul, while I'm working hard, my tawakkul is on Allah in terms of He's the only one who can guarantee that I achieve what I'm working hard for. Only Allah. No matter how smart you are, no matter what kind of expertise you have, no matter how strong, maybe you're a martial artist like Abdul Karim. MashaAllah. Ahlan bikum ya Abdul Karim. This is my brother here. MashaAllah. But in the end of it all, yani the effectiveness of your skill and your training and your strength and all of that, it's not effective at all unless Allah wills it to be effective. That's the point there, that a person has to know that nothing is going to happen except by the will of Allah. Allah is the one that makes it happen. It's not somebody smart, the intelligence. The doctor is the best doctor, the martial artist is the master in his style or in his field or whatever. Yeah, but it's all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then here, I just want to repeat this statement again. The human being utilizes the means in seeking the sustenance, the provisions, while at the same time, huwa mutawakkilun ala Allah fi husul al-matlub. But he is depending upon Allah, he's relying upon Allah to actually achieve, to attain, to obtain what is desired. It's not due to his actions. It's due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has power over everything, and nothing happens except what he wills. So we're going to come back to this point in the end, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. I hope that we have time. The Shaykh gives some examples here, two examples. I'm going to just go through them quickly. The first example, he says the human being plants some crop. وَهُوَ مُتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ While he is putting his dependence and reliance upon Allah in terms of making sure that that crop, yani, it is, that it is done well, that the planting of the crop, that it turns out well. He's depending upon Allah that it will turn out well. He's depending upon Allah that it will bear fruit. He's depending upon Allah to protect it from that those things that harm it. He is depending upon Allah to obtain, to achieve benefit from it. He's depending upon Allah for all of that. Yani the fact that it's going to grow well and that it's going to be protected from harm and that he's going to actually get benefit out of it, he's depending upon Allah for all of that. لَبُدَّ مِنْ أَنَّكَ تَزْرَعَ الزَّرْعَ Yani it is of a necessity that you actually plant the crops. It is a necessity that you sow the seeds, that you water it, that you attend to it. And then it is a necessity that you put your trust in Allah, that you depend upon Allah in order to protect it and to cause it to grow and to make it bear fruit and to enable you to obtain, to acquire that fruit and to benefit from it. That's the first example he gives. Any of the farmer who plants their seeds, they do everything that they're supposed to do, but they know that no matter how hard they work on that crop, it's not going to bear fruit unless Allah wills it to, unless Allah makes that happen. The second example he gave, that if a person were to abandon a zawaj, yani they just said they're not going to get married, and they claim that this is tawakkul ala Allah, that I'm depending upon Allah, Allah is going to yani take care of me. If Allah wanted me to have children, then they would just come to me without me getting married. He said, this is an example of a person who says, and if Allah willed for me to have children, I don't have to get married, it's just going to happen. I'm putting my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the shaykh, he says, we say to such an idea, هذا غلط. This is, in fact, a mistake, an error. This is wrong. لا يقوله عاقل فضلا عن مؤمن يعني a person who has a mind, an intellect, a rational person will not say such a thing. Not to mention a believer. يعني even a non-believer, even a kafir who has a mind wouldn't say such a thing. Not to mention a believer who believes in Allah. Who believes in يعني the qadr of Allah. Who believes in يعني putting their trust in Allah. Who has tawheed. Absolutely wouldn't say such a thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ja'ala lil-asha asbabin. Allah is the one who made the causes or the means for everything. Yani in order for anything to be achieved, Allah has made means for it. Whether they are, yani asbab diniyah or asbab dunyawiyah. They might be religious means. Or they might be worldly means. But Allah is the one who made the asbab for achieving anything. So marriage, getting married is a sabab, is a means through which a person can yani give birth to a child. Zawaj is a means for a person to have children. And Allah has commanded us, وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَ بِاتِّخَاذِ الْأَسْبَابِ But Allah has commanded us to utilize the means. to have children. So it is necessary that you act upon those means, that you utilize those means. Marriage is a means, and this is from you. This is your part. Go and get married. This is what you do. This is how you seek it. As far as the actual attainment of children, actually having children, then this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الثَّمَرَةُ. This is the fruit that Allah brings about from your effort, that Allah brings about. فَالنَّتِيجَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَأَمَّا فِعْلَ السَّبَبُ فَهُوَ مِنْ قِبَلِكَ أَنْتَ. So the result is in the hands of Allah. But as far as utilizing the means, this is your part, this is what you're supposed to do. You have to utilize the means, and then it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about the result. Here the shaykh, he says, and I'm going to mention the second, another hadith from the hadith, 40 hadith of Tawakkul, and this was also recommended related to this point, that I use this hadith here, and it's right on point. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْجَمْعِ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. Therefore, it is necessary, it is incumbent to join or to combine between these two affairs. فِعْلَ الْأَسْبَابِ مَا تَوَقَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani doing those, utilizing the means, acting upon the means, along with depending upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is of a necessity that we combine these two things. That is, that we combine, yani utilizing the means and putting our trust in Allah. The hadith here is hadith at-tasi ashra, 19th hadith from the hadith of Tawakkul, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik. And here there's a title with this hadith. It says, أَنَّهُ لَا مُنَافَةَ بَيْنَ الْأَخْذِ بِالْأَسْبَابِ وَتَوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ بَلْ الْأَخْذُ بِالْأَسْبَابِ مَأْمُور بِهِ. Yani there's no contradiction between utilizing the means and putting your trust in Allah. There's no contradiction between the two. Rather, utilizing the means is something that we have been commanded to do. Yani we must do. Put your trust in Allah, and we are commanded also to utilize the means. And this hadith is a clear indication of that. And in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, is reported by Tirmidhi, he said, Anas, قَالَ رَجُلٌ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَعَقِلُهَا وَأَتَّوَكَّلُ أَوْ أُطْلِقُهَا وَأَتَّوَكَّلُ. Yani, he said in reference to his camel, shall I tie it up, hobble it, and put my trust in Allah? Or should I let it go free and put my trust in Allah? The Prophet ﷺ said to him, اعقلها وتوكل. Yani, tie it up and put your trust in Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us in this simple, clear hadith, these two things go together. Utilizing the means. You don't want your camel to run away, you got to tie it up. And at the same time, it's not sufficient just to tie it up, but you have to put your trust in Allah. When you lock your car with a key or with an electronic button or whatever they call that, push button, don't think that's sufficient. You might come back and your car is not there if you didn't put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, so it is of a necessity that we combine between these two affairs. Utilizing the means along with depending, relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here he mentions the two mistakes, two sides that are error in reference to this matter. And this is what really we want to try to bring out tonight, is to avoid the error of the people who misunderstood how to combine between these two affairs. He said, as far as the one, يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى الْأَسْبَابِ وَلَا يَتَوَكُلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, the one who puts his total dependence and reliance upon the means, and he doesn't, yani, depend upon Allah. Or, يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى التَّوَكُلُ وَلَا يَفَعَلَ الْأَسْبَابِ. Yani, or the other mistake is that a person claims that they are depending upon Allah totally, but they don't utilize the means which we have been commanded to utilize. Both of these are errors. Yani, the one who claims to be dependent upon Allah and don't do anything, they don't do anything to achieve the goal, that's a mistake. And the one who does everything possible to achieve the goal but doesn't put their trust in Allah, that's also a mistake. And there's a third mistake that was brought to my attention, yani in a clearer way than I had actually envisioned it previously, and that is that a person puts their trust in Allah, or at least that's what they think, and they utilize the means. Yani they utilize the means, and then I put my trust in Allah. But in reality, their heart is connected to the means. Yani even though as a Muslim they're saying, I'm doing this and I'm putting my trust in Allah. But in reality, their trust, their dependence, their reliance, their confidence is in the means. And in that way, a doctor might say, if you don't take this medicine, you're going to die. Yani like, Allah is the one who gives life and causes death. This medicine doesn't have a brain, doesn't have a mind, doesn't have a heart. It doesn't have any power to do anything. It's Allah. It's Allah who either makes it to harm or to benefit. So the third dangerous error that Muslims may commonly be falling into is that a Muslim is conscious of tawakkul, they utilize the means, and then they say, I'm putting my trust in Allah, but really their heart is connected to the means, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh, he says here, both of these are errors. To claim to be dependent upon Allah while not utilizing the means, or to utilize the means while not being dependent upon Allah. كِلَاهُمَا مُخْتِئٌ غَالِطٌ. Both of these are in error, mistaken. Yani are wrong. Then he says, and here also this is a very important matter, that the Shaykh says here, this is the second matter that I think is critically important. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ الْعُلَمَاءُ رَحِمَهُمَ اللَّهُ. So for this reason, because these are errors that people made, for this reason, the scholars, rahimahumullah, said, الْاِعْتِمَادْ عَلَى الْأَسْبَابْ شِرْكْ. الْاِعْتِمَادْ عَلَى الْأَسْبَابْ شِرْكْ. Yani the error of the person who depends totally upon the means is that they have fallen into shirk. Because they have given their heart over to and put their trust in and had confidence in something other than Allah, that it has the ability to bring about the desired result, when in reality that confidence and that trust should only be for Allah, not for anything other than Allah. Whoever puts their trust and has confidence in something other than Allah, the means that people normally use to achieve those things, and they actually have confidence that this is going to do it, then they have fallen into shirk. So this is extremely dangerous. So here, this statement the Shaykh made here, and it needs to be highlighted. The scholar said, depending upon the asbab is shirk. And abandoning the asbab also is error. Not utilizing the means, he said, is qadh fi shar. And I'm not exactly sure what word to use here, but qadh fi shar, as I understand it here, the meaning of it is that a person rejects what Allah has legislated. Yani they reject it because they consider it to be something objectionable. Yani they don't consider it to be necessary, to be of value, to be of benefit. So this is in a sense a person making an attack on the validity and the greatness of what Allah has legislated. So Allah has legislated to utilize the means, and they, yani, decided they don't need to utilize the means. So they have made, yani they have rejected, disputed, yani belittled, degraded the Sharia, what Allah has legislated. And this, he says, the reason why this abandoning the means is a qadh fi shar, لأن الشرع أمر باتخاذ الأسباب. Because the law, Allah's law, in Allah's law, we have commanded to utilize the means. So how can a person then abandon them? And also because abandoning the means, he said, is yani not, he said this is wrong because Allah has ordered us to utilize the means, and yani not utilizing the means, abandoning the means, is yani rejecting as objectionable the shara, and it is also leaving off what Allah has commanded us with. It is also leaving off what Allah has commanded us with. So Allah has commanded us to utilize the means. And if a person then, yani knowing that Allah has commanded this, abandons it, so they are in clear error. They are in clear error. Then the Shaykh mentions here, yani, two ayat that are related to what? This statement that Allah has commanded us to utilize the means, and therefore a person is in error if they claim to put their trust in Allah and they don't utilize the means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 17th Ayat, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ وَعَبُدُوهُ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Therefore, and this is a command, فِي amra, and فِي amra يَقْتَدِي الْوُجُوبِ. Naam. When Allah commands us with something, or the Prophet ﷺ has commanded us with something, then the original rule concerning that is that it's obligatory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ. Therefore, seek out the sustenance, the provisions with Allah. وَعَبُدُوهُ, and worship Him, and be thankful to Him. Indeed, to Him you will return. يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, says, hafidhahullah, he says, the statement, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ, أي أُطْلُبُوا الرِّزْقِ. Seek. Go after it. Go out to get the risk. So here Allah is what? Commanding us to seek the sustenance. وَلَا تَجْلِسُوا فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, and don't just sit around in the masjids. وَتَزْعُمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُتَوَكِّلُونَ, claiming that you are putting your trust in Allah. Allah has ordered us, commanded us to go out and seek the means. وَلَا تَجْلِسُوا فِي الْبُيُوتِ تَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّ الْأَزْرَاقِ أَنَّ الْأَرْزَاقِ تَدْخُلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ, and don't sit in the homes, claiming that your provisions and your sustenance will come to you, will just enter upon you without you going out and doing anything. هذا غلط, this is a mistake. وَلَا يَقُولُوا بِهَذَا مُؤْمِنٌ, and no believer would say such a thing. And then he brings the narration about Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to support this idea that it is obligatory to utilize the means. وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا رَاعَ عُمَر رَضِيَ anhu جَمَاعَةً زَعَمُوا أَنَّهُ مُتَوَقِّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَتَرَكُوا الْأَسْبَابِ. So when Umar radiallahu anhu saw a group of people claiming that they are those who depend upon Allah, while they are abandoning utilizing the means, they're not getting up doing anything, they're just claiming that they're putting their trust in Allah, he asked them, who are you? They said, we are the people who put our trust in Allah. We are the mutawakkilun, the people who depend upon Allah. We have total dependence upon Allah. He said, no, you are mutaakkilun, meaning, no, you are those who want to be dependent upon the people. You don't want to do anything. You want the people to take care of you. So Umar is rebuking them, saying that, no, you are not mutawakkil ala Allah. Rather, you are just making yourselves dependent upon the people. You are not depending upon Allah. You're depending upon, begging. Then the Shaykh, he mentions another ayah, also supporting the idea that we are commanded to utilize the means. He says, قَالَ تَعَالَى فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. So if the prayer is completed, after the prayer is performed, then فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is the command. Then go out, spread out, go out into the earth. وَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and seek, and this is a command, and seek from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani here, in this ayat, and this ayat is from Surah Al-Jumu'ah, 62nd Surah, 10th ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that when you complete the prayer, the Jumu'ah prayer, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said it means any prayer. Is specifically revealed about Jumu'ah in the Surah Al-Jumu'ah. When you complete the prayer, then go out into the earth and seek, search for, make an effort to get the bounty of Allah. To get the bounty of Allah. The Shaykh says, the meaning of this, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, he said that buy and sell and seek one's provisions by utilizing the beneficial means. أمرهم الله بفعل العبادة والصلاة في وقتها ومكانها وهو المسجد ثم أمر بالطلب الرزق في مكانها وهو خارج المسجد فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض. The Shaykh is explaining this by saying Allah has commanded them سبحانه وتعالى to do the acts of worship, in the masjid, perform the salat, And that is in its time and in its place. Yani at the time that the adhan is called, as it came in the ayah, yani if the call for the salat came on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, فَسَعُوا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَسَعُوا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, then hasten to the remembrance of Allah. Go and perform the ibadah, that is the salat, in its time and in its place, in the masjid. He said that is in the masjid. Then Allah ordered to seek provisions in its place, and that is outside of the masjid. And that's why he said, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, then go out into the earth and seek the bounties of Allah. Here I just want to note that in these ayats in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, the Shaykh refers to here, the in these ayats, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Yani, O you who believe, when the call is made, yani for the salat on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, hasten to the dhikrillah, to the remembrance of Allah. I'm noting here, ila dhikrillah, hasten to the remembrance of Allah, wadharu bay, and leave off, yani, the merchandising, commerce, buying and selling, trade. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرُ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, that is better for you if you, yani what? If you knew, if you only knew. Perform the salat in this time, yani hasten to the remembrance of Allah, leave off buying and selling, and then when the salat is finished, go out into the earth seeking the bounty of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah found that, إِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَذَكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Again, I'm noting here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, go out and seek the bounty of Allah and remember Allah much. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you will be successful. The remembrance of Allah, the Shaykh, he says here, لِأَنَّ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى سَبَبٌ لِجَلْبْ الرِّزْقِ أَيْدًا, because the remembrance of Allah, it is a means of obtaining sustenance. Also, just like going out into the earth, buying and selling, the remembrance of Allah is a means of achieving one's sustenance. Rather, the Shaykh says, فَهُوَ أَعْظَمُ سَبَبٌ لِجَلْبَ الرِّزْقِ, rather, it is the greatest means of achieving the risk. Remember Allah, worship Allah, and then go out and work. But first worship Allah. Remember Allah. And when you go out into the land, فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, continue to remember Allah as you go out and seek your means of provisions. He said, because this remembrance of Allah is the greatest means of obtaining the sustenance, وَتَيْسِيرَ الْأُمُورِ, and also it is the greatest means of facilitating the affairs. Yani making ease in one's affairs. Yani if somebody is finding difficult in their affairs, and especially in their livelihood, the remembrance of Allah is one of the greatest means for giving you ease in your affairs. And then the Shaykh, he says, and then he mentions this ayah, we're going to stop from the reading from the book here. He says, yani from Surah Talaq, 65th surah, 2nd and 3rd ayah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, and whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for him a way out of whatever situation they're in, whatever difficulty or hardship they're in. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever observes taqwa of Allah, yani fulfilling his commands and avoiding his prohibitions, then Allah will make a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and Allah will provide for him sustenance, means, provisions from where he didn't imagine it. وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, and whoever puts their trust in Allah, depends upon Allah, relies upon Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. Allah will suffice him. Here I want to go to the point that, you know, I mentioned early on that I wanted to come back to, that I hope that we have time for, and that is the statement of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. In the beginning, on the first page we were reading, yani in the second paragraph, where the first time when he said, فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ جَمْ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ, yani it is of a necessity we combine between these two affairs, putting one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and utilizing the beneficial means, the Shaykh, he said there, and I said this is very, very important, فَالْإِنسَانِ يَفَعْلُ الْأَسْبَابِ, so the human being utilizes the means, فِي طَلَبَ الرِّسْكِ, in seeking the provisions. وَهُوَ مُتَوَكِّلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي حُصُولِ الْمَطْلُوبِ, while at the same time, He is depending upon Allah in order to attain that which is desired, that which you are seeking. Yani, in other words, a person must utilize the means to seek provisions. But at the same time, they must not depend upon, rely upon, have confidence in the effort that they are making to achieve the desired goal. Rather, they must depend totally and completely upon Allah to achieve the goal. The natija, the result, is with Allah absolutely. It's not how hard you work. Yes, work hard. But it's not how hard you work. Some people are working hard and other people are not. And the people who are not working hard might be doing better than the people who are working hard. Some people are eating good. As the Imam mentioned earlier today, yani some people think that the food that they eat, I don't know if he mentioned it earlier today, maybe it was in our discussion after Fajr. Yani some people think that the food that they eat can guarantee them good health and long life. And there are some people, I think you did mention, some people smoking cigarettes or doing other stuff, and they're living a long life. And the other person is eating all the natural, organic, whatever, and they're not living a long life. So the means should be utilized in accordance with what Allah has, yani, decreed. Yani, the laws that He have set forth in the universe, the universal laws. And in accordance with what Allah has guided to us in Islam. Yani, the means should be utilized. But one's dependence and reliance, one's heart must be only attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this light, I mentioned what I mentioned earlier, that the clear mistake of the people is that a person puts their trust totally in the effort that they are making, the means, without depending upon Allah. They're clearly in error. That person has fallen into shirk, clearly. The Shaykh said that, as we read earlier. That the person who puts their dependence upon the means has fallen into shirk. The other mistake is the people who claim to depend upon Allah, but they don't utilize the means. And they're also in error. Why? Because Allah has commanded us to go out in the earth to seek one's means. He has commanded us to utilize the means. They're also in error. The third error is the person who, as I mentioned earlier, who claims to depend upon Allah and they utilize the means, but in reality their heart is attached to the means. Like the mushrikeen that we talked about last week, how they fell into shirk, because they turned over their affairs to other than Allah. And they, yani, trusted those things with their affairs other than Allah. And as a result of that, they began to believe their i'tiqad, that those things can benefit and harm. And that's when they began to depend upon them and offer acts of worship to them. So the same thing is for the Muslim who utilizes the means while believing that they are supposed to depend upon Allah, but their heart is really attached to those means. And this is a dangerous position for a Muslim to be in. Here I want to just mention a supplication that I think is really tremendous from the Prophet ﷺ. And a brief explanation of this supplication. It's a supplication that, inshallah, that we all know. I hope. And if we don't, anyway, it's in books. We need to learn it. It's very important. Because as human beings, we are subject to be in need of this, either for ourselves or for our family or loved ones or neighbors or whoever that may become sick. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he mentions in his explanation of Riyadh al-Salihin two hadith, yani, related to supplications for the sick. Yani, Imam an-Nawawi mentioned two hadith. The Shaykh says, أَمَّا الْحَدِيثَ الثَّانِي, as far as the second hadith, فَإِنَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ إِذَا عَادَ بَعْدَ أَهْلِهِ يَقُولُ. Whenever he used to visit a sick person from his family, he used to say, اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّ النَّاسِ, اللَّهُمَّ رب الناس أذهب البأس اشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. I mentioned this hadith to a doctor who was telling me about the importance of medicine and how it is so effective and so great. And I said, so what about this? Yani, what about this statement of the Prophet ﷺ when he used to visit a sick person from his family? He used to say to them, Allahumma Rabban Nas. Oh Allah, the Rabban Nas. Rabban Nas. Rabbul Alameen. Adhib al-Bas. Remove the harm. Yani the sickness. Ishfi. heal him, cure him. Anta shafi. You are the one who cures, who heals. La shifa'a illa shifa'aka. There's no healing except your healing. La shifa'a. What is this la?
La
nafiyah? The jinns. La shifa. There's absolutely no healing illa shifa'aka. Except your healing. Except your healing. Shifa'an la yughadiru saqama. Yani a healing that doesn't leave behind any sickness. What about that? He just said to me, Allahu A'lam. Yani he didn't want to say, I don't agree with you. So he said, Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam? Yani this is it. Allah is the Shafi. There's no shifa illa shifa'u. That's it. There's no discussion. There's no room for a person who believes in Allah except to accept this. This is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what he's saying to a sick person. A sick person who may be physically sick, like the man who was stung by the scorpion, and one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said he recited over him al-Fatiha for physical sickness, and he became cured. We don't believe that? If you believe that medicine cures, and you don't believe that Allah cures, wallahi, this is dangerous. Okay, quickly, let me just read the Shaykh's explanation of this without my own commentary. The Shaykh, he says, when he used to visit, he used to say this supplication, and then he used to wipe his hands, his right hand, over the sick person, and then he used to recite this supplication. Allahumma Rabban Nas. With these words, O Allah, the Rabban Nas, he is, yani, yatawassal ila Allah. Yani, he's seeking, using this supplication as a means of gaining nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By his rububiyyah, al-ama. By acknowledging, recognizing the rububiyyah of Allah, al-ama. That Allah is the Rabb of everything. Rabb al-Nas and the Rabb of everything. He is the Rabb of everything. Meaning, he is the Khaliq, the creator. Al-Malik, the owner. Al-Mudabbir li jami'il umur. The one who controls, who decides all affairs. All affairs. فَأَنْتَ أَيُّهَا الْمَرِيدُ. So, O sick person. تَقُولُ خَلَقَنِيَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَا بَثْبِيَ ثُمَّ قَدْرَ عَلَيَّ الْمَرْضِ. O Allah, you have created me while there was nothing wrong with me. And then you decreed this sickness to befall me. You are the one who has control over the affair. You are the one who created me whole. You are the one who caused me to be sick. So I am calling on you. الَّذِي قَدْرَ عَلَيَّ الْمَرْضِ بَعْدَ صِحَّةِ قَادِرَ عَلَى أَنْ يَشْفِيَنِي. The one who yani decreed this sickness after I was healthy is well able to heal me. أَذْهِبَ الْبَأْسِ. Remove the بَأْسِ. يَعْنِي الْمَرْضِ. Remove the sickness. الَّذِي حَلَّ بِهَذَا الْمَرِيدِ. Yani the sickness has befallen this sick person. Ishfi anta shafi. Heal. Because you are the one who heals. Here he said, the healing here, ash-shifa, is the removal of the sickness and the return of the sick person to good health, their recovery. And then the Shaykh has some comment here. I want to skip it for the sake of time. But yani, it's related to the words ishfi. And some people thinking ashfi has the same meaning. He said ishfi means heal and ashfi means destroy. Be careful, yani, how you call upon Allah. Ash-shafi, ishfi anta ash-shafi. You are the healer. He said ash-shafi huwa Allah azza wa jalla, li'annahu alladhi yashfi al-marad. Yani Allah is the healer because he is the one who heals the sickness, yani who cures the sickness, who removes the sickness. وَمَا يُسْنَعُ مِنَ الْأَدْوِيَّةِ أَوْ يُقْرَأُ مِنَ الرُّقَى فَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا سَبَبٌ قَدْ يَنْفَعُ وَقَدْ لَا يَنْفَعُ فَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْمُصَبِّبُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani whatever the person does of utilizing al-adwiya, medicines, medications, or whatever is recited of the ruqya that a person might recite, the supplications, yani from the Quran or from the Sunnah, whatever the Prophet ﷺ has prescribed for us to recite. He said, this is only a means that might benefit and might not benefit. قَدْ يَنْفَى وَقَدْ لَا يَنْفَى. It's no guarantee that this medication, I don't care how proven, how effective they say it is, there's no guarantee that it can do anything. Allah huwa al-musabbab. He is the one who causes those means to have an effect or not. وَلِهَذَا رُبَّمَا يَمْرَدُ رَجُلَانِ بِمَرْضٍ وَاحِدٍ وَيُدَاوِيَانِ بِدَوَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ وَعَلَى صِفَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ فَيَمُوتُ هَذَا وَيَسْلَمُ ذَاكَ. Two people become sick with the same sickness, receive the same medication, given the same exact treatment. One of them dies and the other one is saved. Why? Because it's not the medication. It's not the doctor's expertise. But it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who either heals or doesn't. لِأَنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَهُوَ الشَّافِي. Yani the whole of the affair is in the hands of Allah. He is the one who heals. وَمَا يُسْنَعُ مِنْ أَدْوِيَةٍ أَوْ يُقَالُ مِنْ رُقَى فَهُوَ السَّبَبُ. The medications that we use and the recitations that we recite only means that Allah has ordered us to use. Use the medications. Now, utilize those medications. Utilize the ruqya. Yani utilize the means. Zamzam, black seed, honey, sadaqah. The Prophet ﷺ said, heal your sick with sadaqah. Look for some Muslims who are worshippers of Allah, who are upon tawheed, who are in need. They are more worthy of your charity than just giving it to anyone. This is a means of healing. He said that these are only means. وَنَحْنُ مَأْمُورُونَ بِذَلِكَ السَّبَبُ. And we are commanded to use these means. As the Prophet ﷺ said, فَتَدَاوَوْا وَلَا تَدَاوَوْا بِحَرَامٍ. Yani, seek to cure. Yani, utilize the means of curing, but don't you try to cure with that which is haram. And he said, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِن دَاءٍ إِلَّا أَنزَلَ لَهُ دَوَاءٍ. That Allah hasn't sent down any sickness, except that He has also sent down, the means of healing it. And we're coming to the end of what the Shaykh said here. He said, and the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا شفاء إلا شفاءك. And this is the crux of the matter. لا شفاء إلا شفاءك. There's no healing except your healing. He said, صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Indeed, he has spoken the truth. For indeed, there is absolutely no healing except the healing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the healing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no healing other than it. And the healing of the created beings is only a sabab, a cause that its effect is with Allah. And Allah, الشافي هو الله, alone. فليس الطبيب, الإمام محمد بن سعد الثيمين says, فليس الطبيب وليس الدواء هما اللذان يشفيان. It is not the doctor. It is not the medicine. These are not what actually heals. بل الطبيب سبب. The doctor is only a means. والدواء سببٌ. And the medications are only a means. وَإِنَّمَا الشَّافِي هُوَ اللَّهِ. While indeed, the one who heals is only Allah. And therefore it is incumbent upon us to keep the proper balance between these two things that we are commanded with. تَوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ means that a person depends upon Allah, relies upon Allah, turns their affair over to Allah. وَالثِّقَ بِاللَّهِ. And their confidence is in Allah alone. And they also utilize the means. But while they are utilizing those means that Allah has legislated, or that Allah has made to have some effect by His universal will, إِرَادَ قَوْنِيَ, Allah willed that certain things, that there's a cause and effect. While utilizing those means, one must be careful and certain that the heart is attached to Allah alone. We have to remember that ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. Allah, as Shaykh al-Imam al-Sa'di said, Allah هو النافع والدار والمعطي والمانع. He is the one who benefits. He is the one who harms. He is the one who gives. He is the one who withholds. And the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Bismillah الذي لا يدر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. لا يدر. يعني with the name of Allah, nothing can cause harm in the heavens or on the earth. Or in the earth. لا يدر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. Not a human being or an animal or anything can harm. Yani if Allah protects you. And then the Shaykh, he closes by saying, Shifa'an la yugadiru saqaman. Yani a healing. Allah's healing is a healing that doesn't leave behind any sickness, meaning Shifa'an kamilan. It is complete healing. It doesn't leave behind any sickness. So it is incumbent upon a person when they visit a sick person to wipe their right hand over that person and to say this dua, Wallahu muwaffaq, and Allah is the one who yani grants success. So yani I think the most important thing for us now is yani whoever is utilizing any means to achieve any goal, whether it's to bring about some benefit or to prevent some harm. And the clearest yani example of that for me yani is the person who's sick, who really is searching for the right doctor, who's really searching for the right medication, the right medicines, to remember that while you look for the best doctor that you can possibly find and the best medicines that you can possibly find, know for sure that the tabib is only a suburb. And the adwiya, they are only a suburb. They are only a means. They don't have any power in and of themselves. That the whole of the affair is in the hands of Allah. Whoever relies upon those means, as some sick people do, because they believe those doctors. And as some doctors do, because they actually believe that they have some ability. They actually believe that they are better than other people. That they have knowledge. They know and you don't know. And you have to just listen to them. And they don't understand that the means which they consider to be inferior, Allah can make that work. And the means that they consider to be superior, it may not work. It may not work. And many doctors don't understand this, even Muslim doctors. From my experience in talking to them, I found that even the Muslims don't quite comprehend this. May Allah and He grant us success in comprehending this affair, so that this very important affair of tawakkul ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can in fact depend upon Allah, rely upon Allah, have confidence in Allah, because we know the greatness and the glory and the majesty and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ability. هو الفعال لما يريد. He is the one who does whatever He wills. Because we know that, then hopefully we will put our trust in Him alone. And we will not believe what anybody says when they tell you that this is guaranteed to work. Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. That nothing is going to work unless Allah wills it to work. Ultimately it's all with Allah. Let us put our trust in Allah. Let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase this awareness, this consciousness, the realization of His majesty and His greatness and His glory and His power and His magnificence in all that we see in the creation of what Allah created and what He does in the creation all the time, all day and all night, every day, eternally. Let us allow that to be a means of increasing and strengthening in our hearts, our tawakkul alayhi, our trust and dependence and reliance upon Him alone, and our confidence only in Allah. Only in Allah. Don't be so confident in your skill or your expertise in whatever it might be, because Allah is the one who controls every affair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.